Welcome to Tech Grubs number 34. And today, on this lovely weekend of rain, we have my co-host, David Eastman.
Yo.
Say hello, David.
Oh. Hello, David.
Okay. we also have I'm not sure if he's not our co-host, but he's always on the show. It's Cristiano Betta. Say hello, Cristiano.
Hello, Cristiano.
Hey, Cristiano.
You just heard?
That's confusing. Not everybody's saying, hey,
Cristiano. All right. Let's just calm down. Right. We also have two guests. We have Kevin Price.
Saying anything.
Oh, God. Okay. Kevin Prince. Say hello, Kevin.
Thanks, Ian Rainforest.
No, Ian Foster.
Oh, stop.
It's Ian Foster.
Anyway, and we also heard just there, we have Tim Dobson. Say hello, Tim.
Hello.
Excellent. Right. After that fantastic start to the show, let's talk about, there's a whole bunch of things to talk about. Should we start with the Apple announcement and the...
is WWDC then? Go on, put me out of misery.
Steve's not dead was the first bit we found out.
But, to be fair, he's almost dead.
He doesn't look good.
No, he looks really, really bad.
Yeah.
He's always looked bad.
No, he has. If you look really at pictures of 5 years, he looks not well.
He's been looking like this for the last few years.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a Russian premier thing that even when he dies, they'll still wheel him on, frozen, just so the share price stays up?
Yeah.
It's like Futurama. It'll just be a head in a jar.
I was about to say.
If we get to Futurama states, it'd be fine. So, anyway, what was announced? I was somewhere else.
Well, the biggest thing I saw was what's it called? Apple's music store thing that they were doing.
Oh, the I can steal music now, but Apple will legalize it for me.
Yes.
Well, I still haven't really read whatever the legality around that.
I don't think Apple have either, to be honest.
I think this is the thing, right? Steve Jobs has done that one of his Jedi mind tricks on the music industry again. And they've kind of gone, he went into the meeting and went, look, we know that Google's interested and we know that Amazon's interested, but we're going to, with a wave of a hand, offer you so much better. That was it. They just all went, ooh.
No, Apple, that's something brilliant. They walked into the music studio's offices, right? And they went, listen, right? We're going to have all of our customers pay you guys 25 quid a year to own the music that they already have. I'm pretty sure that was jaw-dropping moment. And then they went and we're not really sure if we're actually going to make this legal for them. So they're just going to pay you money. Magic.
Yeah.
It's the music studios must have gone, sure, hell yeah, just free money.
Well, Apple apparently have paid out £100 million in prepayment to all the record labels.
Mm.
It's I think the real question is...
And we're going to give it to you up front.
Apple went in and went, look, hang on, is this the FIFA thing where Apple went in with a brown paper bag? Look, there's something in the bag. Our attorneys have said you need to sign this piece of paper and we'll talk about it again and you won't sue anyone, okay? Cool. Right.
It definitely sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it, I was tempted to go sniffing through the EULA, but the question is, I think a lot of people have asked it,
is there even a EULA yet?
Not yet, I don't think, but I think there's something on the website somewhere.
Okay. Keep in mind, most of this stuff is currently officially still in beta, so...
Okay. But this is the interesting part, right? Could I sign up, get all my stuff, and then just yeah, fuck off the next
no,
month.
No, I think you've got to keep paying.
For how long?
Forever.
But how, but, wait a minute, wait, this is the interesting part. So are the tracks MP3s or...
I'm betting they're the old school DRM.
Ooh.
30, 256 kbit AAC.
The non
I don't think they're going to be DRM. There's been some rumors that some people have been using it already, and they say that some of their songs are showing up again as DRM, but that seems to be like a bug in the system where they originally bought the music. This is about songs that they bought through iTunes and re-downloading.
Because if it's iTunes Plus, you should
there's going to be DRM. The interesting thing also about this story is that there's currently no actual... apparently, they have no agreement outside of the US yet.
No.
Yes, I was just about to get to that.
So for you, we can't really answer that.
Mm.
For Americans, we might be able to speculate, but for... I mean, the interesting thing really is if I, you know, torrent all my music, then throw it into iTunes, and then have iTunes convert that for me into, you know, iTunes downloaded files, do I then still, does that make it legal or not? I mean, this sounds like a weird case, but the better case to say is, let's say I have the CDs, I rip the CDs, right, which is legal in the US, yeah, and then I throw my CDs away. Is it then still legal?
We sell them.
Sounds like music laundering, which is a new concept.
But that was what we came up with last night. We were chatting about this last night, and that was exactly what we came up with.
It's basically music laundering. It's like
how odd.
Afterwards, there's no distinction between the CE use case, the torrents use case. Where they both end up, you end up with nice the files and no original, you know, hard copy of all the music.
That sounds cool. So it sounds like we could re. What does that sound? Can somebody? That's going to be Tim, isn't it? Is that a dog? Or that thing?
It is indeed my flatmate attempting to brew a kettle, which he is now going to turn off.
Tell Doss to shut up!
Tim, generally just mute your mic when we're talking.
Or, why don't you do it in your bedroom instead of the living room? Or the kitchen?
Or terminate your flatmate. It's a
professional podcast.
Okay.
I have no mate.
Oh, there we go again. Right. Anyway.
Can we just terminate the...
Don't aim him a microphone.
Oh, yeah. My God. Okay, so... I'm gonna pause it for a minute.
The other thing that was interesting about the whole Apple keynote is there was a lot of people, including Nick, who's not here, interestingly, who were, you know, complaining that Apple basically stole everything back from Android. All the good things that Android had are now in
Android
iOS.
And Android didn't steal anything from Apple at all.
No, which is the amazing thing. But even then. Who gives a shit?
I don't know. What were they supposed to have stolen?
The notification, I think, was it.
Yeah, the wire sync. It's something.
But that's like, I'm sorry, but they stole that from Zoom because Zoom had that 3 years ago.
Yes, exactly. And they probably stole the idea from somebody else again. So it's not.
Yeah, as I say, Windows Mobile had that kind of, and then they turned it off again. And yeah, so you know, the thing about it is that everyone steals from everyone else. It's not a big deal. It's when someone else goes, "Oh, you stole it from us." Then it's like, "Oh my god, here we go again." You know,
it's for a lot of these things. It's just about, you know, it's new technology, and people are trying to figure out how does stuff work the best way.
Mm.
And it's just sad when somebody goes like, "Oh, they're stealing it." No, they're copying it. They're copying it because it's a bloody good idea.
Yeah,
because it works very well.
Yeah, exactly.
Be flattered, not insulted. I don't. It's. Go paint it or something.
No,
I hate that too.
No.
Right. So anyway, what else happened? That no new iPads,
no new
iPhone,
no new hardware,
no new.
So I still don't know what the WWDC is.
Worldwide Developers Conference.
Oh, right. It's
nothing. So actually, the people I've spoken to who have obviously are under debt, Steve will turn up and shoot them if they talk about what actually happened there. It sounded like a really good, like an actually a really good technical conference, and everyone seemed to learn loads. And you know, they got like a awesome talk from Buzz Aldrin about something. I think something to do with space.
Come on, moon. Come on. It always
going to the moon.
Oh my god! No, I have no idea.
Sorry, have you ever seen a non-white space shuttle?
That's true.
Oh,
that's
man.
The ice shuttle.
The ice shuttle.
Oh, dear.
So that's what happened. It's not going to a museum. In actual fact, they're going to buy it and launch it as the ice shuttle.
They'll stick it in the middle of the donut thing that they're building.
We've taken everything we've learned from the MacBook Air and put it in a shuttle.
But they're going to make it really lightest, thin.
Quickest, thinnest shuttle.
Best UI. A shuttle with a really good UI.
Well, yeah, fit supermodels.
Just what is donut thing that they're building?
Oh, I love that. Just donut.
Just like a new Mac device.
Yeah,
it looks awesome. Donut.
So I'm wondering if when Apple goes bust, who's going to buy it? Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts?
Greg.
Oh man, you'll fill it full of jam.
Oh, clearly the Roomba company.
Ooh, maybe, yeah.
Oh, man.
It looks like a massive Roomba.
Did they say it's going to be built by 2015 as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's freaking quick.
Yeah, if they get the start this year. Hey, keep in mind how they build buildings in America.
Yeah, they mess around with that.
There's a reason they do that, right? So they fall down and don't kill people. This is serious. Like a big piece of lumber falling on top of you is a lot less painful than a big wall of brick.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They do build houses out of brick. It just depends on where you live.
Yeah. Most of America's still wood.
Yeah. Florida's mostly brick.
Okay. That's weird.
No, it's concrete because it's hurricanes versus earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. Yes, that makes sense.
Got those donuts.
Anyway, let's go back off topic.
On donuts. I want to hear about donuts.
So Apple proposed they want to build a new building. So because they're kind of expanding so quickly that they're running out of space, and they basically proposed a new building which looks like a massive donut.
Is this on their infinite?
It looks like a spaceship. Well, no, it's a couple of blocks away.
Right.
Because the one in Infinite Loop is
campus, isn't it?
Sorry?
The old HP campus.
Yeah, and loads of acres around it. And they basically Steve Jobs basically gave like an Apple style keynote going to the Council of Cupertino going you know, the current all the space that they currently own, it's like 50% car park, and it's gonna be like only like 10% car park after that. It now has like 20% trees, and it's going to be like 60% trees. And it was like, yeah, just show the numbers. The entire building does not have one little piece of curved glass, a straight glass in it. All the glass is curved.
But even the glass on top.
glass on top.
I'm kidding, sorry.
So someone is currently sat there going, Steve, you're a freaking crazy guy. Can you stop being CEO now?
Here's the interesting thing, right? A couple of weeks ago, somebody, there was like a rumor going around that Apple had made this massive order for curved glass.
Oh, yeah.
Machines to make curved glass. And people were like going crazy, like, the iPhone 5 is going to have curved glass, and what's going to look like?
Right.
and this is it. It was like,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you would need those for that, too.
So
yeah, they're building a new HQ, and it looks like ridiculously ambitious. And I kind of like it, but that's me.
It's shiny.
It's interesting. I do like architecture a lot. I do find it interesting. But how tall is it?
It's four stories high only.
Okay, so it's still quite a bit then.
Well, they wanted to keep it. Apparently, they said they wanted to keep it very low.
Mm.
So I think it's like lower than most of the trees around it.
So if I search for apple donut, I'll get pictures of apple.
I'm sure you'll find it.
I did actually get apple donuts. Let me try that again.
Oh my god!
Apple cappuccino donut. They're probably
donut HQ.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did he just do rule 34 for apple donuts?
That's quite a toroid, that. What the hell is that? That looks like a cyclotron. Are you quite sure this is HQ? They're not trying to smash atoms. That's massive. What the hell is that?
It doesn't look like
that.
That's
going to go to Planet Jobs.
It might be secretly, you know, underground Hadron Collider.
That rotates really fast.
Someone had I can't remember, one of the webcomics basically did a version of it and just had lots of things about what every bit of it was. One of the bits was a Stargate. One of it was one of it was the underground bit was a nuclear missile, and it was a nuclear missile from old HQ still targeted at Eric Schmidt.
Apple is growing like a weed, Jobs told the council. That is so true in many ways.
I'm not
like
sure that was the phrasal words he was looking for.
Not really, but you know, it works.
It's like a little spaceship landing. It looks like a massive spaceship landing.
Yeah. Well, you know how you can buy these shirts. You know you can buy these shirts at Apple HQ now, which say "I visited the mothership." This is going to make it very literal.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh dear. So, what else happened at WWDC?
They showed off Lion, which works. I'm running it now, and Skype still works, so that's an improvement.
Oh, it got launched straight away, did it?
No, I'm on the developer program, so I can't tell you anything about it.
Other than you're using it?
Yeah.
Do you have any space left on the program?
Maybe.
Is Lion anything like Unity?
No,
Unity, tell us.
I was trying to do a segue, but it's not working.
No, but tell us, what the hell? Because I've heard about Unity, which is, as far as I understand, is it the window manager for Linux? Is it a layer on top of the window manager?
Call the comp is manager, sort of on top of that. Yes, sort of the Windows manager. You get. To Windows. The problem is it's not really just that. So, if I can talk quickly before Tim says it's shit again, it is shit. It's this new 1104 version, and unfortunately, what they're trying to do is they're trying to impose it. I think Mark Shuttleworth has sort of got the idea from Steve Jobs that they should not ask people; they should just like impose this UI. It's not very good. There's other problems with it. One of the biggest problems, which was a real killer. It doesn't work properly with double screens. Now, virtually every developer uses two screens. Even if you're not doing UI, you're probably going to use two screens. You're probably going to put your laptop in and look at another screen. Mm. And that made people think, Jesus Christ, did anyone test this? Of all things to get wrong. Double's getting that wrong? Every developer does this, surely. So that started off on a bad note, but quite a few other problems have accounted. And unfortunately, the system itself is a bit poo. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they've just made it, and obviously you need some time to mature, but it doesn't look really good. Okay, I'll let Tim say shit now. Carry on.
Oh, no, well, you just kind of said everything that I'd say, really. I mean, I'd echo all your sentiments in that it just seems to have gone ahead with, like, no real consultation. And although it kind of is very clearly aimed at end users and possibly mobile devices, it's not really kind of proven itself those bits.
That's actually,
and it pissed off all the existing audience.
Mm. It was supposed to be, basically they looked at the sort of space usage of a sort of screen estate, I should say, and they said, hey, look, you know, for tablets, what they need to do is sort of have a menu that sort of stacks on the left and sort of comes out. The GNOME guys disagreed, so they sort of had a split with them. A lot of people saying, yeah, but nobody does major development on a tablet. This is the thing, and Ubuntu is still, you know, it's a nice interface for Linux, but Linux is still used mainly by developers. And you know, you don't do major development on a tablet. We all like tablets, but you can't do fuck all with them, yeah? So really...
Apart from make them look
sense.
Pretty and, you know...
They're
nice ad hoc displays to have on your desk.
They're wonderful for Apple, you know, users who just like stuff that looks good and doesn't do anything. Great. But for real people, not much use. So thing is,
well, hang on, we should backtrack. We're developers, we're not really real people. You know, we live on the internet and stuff.
That's right. Yeah, we're virtual. Even have our own virtual currency, we'll talk about later. But a couple of people in the office have sort of thought, let's move to GNOME 3. And the only reviews of GNOME 3 I've seen are sort of old. And so what do you think of GNOME 3 now you've put that on?
So I have to give you a bit of background. So I did switch to. I got loads of machines. I got two laptops here. One's a work machine. One's my own machine. I switched to.
Wow, loads of machines.
Well, okay, yeah, that's not included.
I work in a data center.
That's not included in desktop. Okay, just you keep quiet, right? Well, put you on hold again, okay? So. Okay, so.
Can you guys please stop comparing penguin sizes?
Yeah, okay. obviously, mine's larger. okay, so listen, right? I did move to 1104, and that really wound me up because it didn't work properly on my machine, on my Dell. And the upgrade thing came up on the other machine, and the other machine doesn't really use. I don't really use Compass. I use dual screen, so I did switch to 1104 on there. But as Eastman just said, you know, basically I got this crazy UI on the left screen. And then everything else is just like as normal. It's bizarre. So I just use classic now, and that's okay. But I noticed there's a massive performance drop. But I just switched to GNOME 3 on my my main machine, this one, and I swear to you, it is really, really nice. It's really, it feels like Ubuntu used to, but it feels very well. It's got nice little features, and I've not really explored them yet, but I'm looking forward to spending some time exploring that.
I mean, one of the first things I found was, you know, I suddenly thought, how do I run another version of the same application? I mean, the obvious one is, how do I open a second shell? And you have to press the middle mouse button or something, or that's the default, which is like odd. But so, how do you do that in GNOME 3, for instance? How does that?
So, oh, someone's dropped something.
Oh yeah, bloody cat!
Not mine.
Okay. The cat.
The cat. You should probably let the cat down.
Sorry, I'll shoot them. I'll shoot them with a Nerf gun. Give me a moment.
You hear a shrieking cat now. It'll be extremely.
Yeah. So I'm still using and I know it's kind of old fashioned, but I'm using GNOME Do. You know GNOME
Do?
Quicksilver.
They copy Quicksilver. Oh my god, no. I'm using that quite a lot, and I've not really. So, what you meant to do, you meant to press the middle mouse button, it's meant to pop up what?
Yeah, if you go over to the sort of Unity button area to the left, whatever it's called.
Oh no, but I haven't got Unity, have I?
Yeah, that's the whole point. You haven't got Unity. Yeah, I mean, you sort of, if you've already got an application open, it's got a little pointer to it, but if you press the middle button, you'll open another one. But, I mean, when I first sort of sat looking at it, I think, how do I get, how do I get something else? You know, you right-click, the menu option doesn't appear. So it's a classic, you have to just randomly look up in Google and someone says what it is, which is a little unfortunate that it's very unlikely I'd play around and accidentally, you know, discover that by just pressing every mouse button in order to do something. So it's just that sort of things like that make me feel, you know, I haven't really thought about this very long, but...
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, the development point of view, it is an absolute nightmare. And also from a distraction point of view, I like having multiple windows, all types of windows, but sometimes I just want something full screen. I don't want any kind of, anything kind of like blocking windows. And, you know, having the Unity thing on the left, you know, always there, it's like, just get lost, you know. Whenever I go to Windows, I used to right click and then say auto hide.
Yeah, you can auto hide it.
Oh, right, okay.
And it will creep out like really slowly, like some sort of like molester or something, you know, like out of a bush. It's really weird. Or you can make it react to the top corner. But these seem quite different methods. Again, it just has that feeling of it's not really been looked at too much. These feel like they've been tacked on. Now, I mean, you know, it's still free software. I'm still happy to let it go for a bit, but it's...
Well, the weird thing is for me is, you know, even when I go to classic mode, is the performance. Like, if you try and, like, run, what's it called? Like, you know, like, you do sort of YouTube on the dual screen setup, it is, the performance is diabolical. I'm like, literally, I just cannot, you know, I can't deal with it. It's just too much.
Is this 1104?
1104, yeah. 1104.
Yeah, that's the other problem. I can't, in my mind, separate out all the problems of which are necessarily 1104s or which are Unity, or whether, in fact, it's worth separating them out now, because obviously, there's clearly not going to be any going backwards on Unity, so it is. Yeah, it is.
So can you? Why did they do this exactly? I kind of missed that point.
Basically, they wanted to make it more like Max, full stop.
Mm.
I mean, they just wanted, they didn't agree with the GNOME guys, the kind of standard desktop interface they were using, and so to make it more.
As far as I understand, that's exactly it. I think Mark Shuttleworth was sort of nudging the GNOME guys to sort of unify their stuff, of which GNOME guys had no interest in doing whatsoever. I mean, that's just not the way the Linux world works. Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem is Mark Shuttleworth is sort of trying to stick everyone on the same train track to go all the same direction, which is it's like herding cats. That's just not what anyone wants to do. No one's interested in going in one direction. That would be Apple. This is Linux. So he's trying to do this. It's not really working. He's already lost the GNOME guys. I think he's going to lose other people as well.
Well, in this the weird thing about it, right, is 1104 actually runs what's it called again? Compez underneath.
Compez, yeah, it does.
But the weird part about it, this is what really drove me nuts, is that I don't mind. Yeah, I love the idea of using Compez instead of whatever hell it was before. But then, all the stuff that you're used to with Compez is, like, disappears. It's like, wait a minute. I already had Compez, and now it's ignoring all the settings that I had.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, so it's, like, crazy. I understand what he's trying to do, but, and and the lovely thing about it is I can install GNOME 3, for example.
That's good.
So that is a good thing.
I mean, I think we all like the fact that Ubuntu is, to use that term again, opinionated software. In other words, you turn it on and they've made a set of decisions for you. That's good.
Yeah.
Because
certainly
professionally, I haven't got time to sort of, patchwork, knit my operating system. So, yes, I'm happy to remove things that are shit. Yeah, I just don't have the time. Obviously, there's some hardcore sandal-wearing people who will do that. Like Nick, who complains if there's anything with his cereal at all. I'm sure he has his cereal with no milk.
I'm sure he's spitting out his cereal now.
But, I mean, and I understand that, but Ubuntu's generally sort of steered a very good course of giving you something, most of sort of best practice, good stuff. Yeah, sure, it tends towards probably more UI than you need, but it has felt pretty good so far. So maybe this is just the first bad step that they'll correct. Mm. But I have a feeling it might be, unfortunately, more than that. So.
Well, it might work on a positive note to kind of generate more competition, and we'll see kind of Linux Mint or perhaps other rising distros, I don't know, Aurora OS kind of making a bit of headway.
Aurora OS? What's that?
It's kind of like...
You've heard it now, here, new.
Yeah. You just moved up with you.
It used to be branded as one of the Ubuntu kind of things, but it's now...
Oh, okay.
I
was thinking maybe I should set up like a Eon OS, and kind of just be... It'll be basically Ubuntu with GNOME 3 and a few little bits and pieces on top of it.
Are you going to put your own screensaver on it? Kind of the background of Eon lounging, very naked across the background.
It should start with a different spelling each time.
I'll get lost. All your passwords will change.
That an extra security layer. Sorry.
Okay, should we move on?
Spell check and we'll change people's names to unpronounceable things.
Hey, leave it alone.
We could. I think probably not.
Okay, should we move on to something else? Well, you're mocking me.
Yeah, we'll stop mocking you now.
Mocking my disability, you guys.
Yeah, I know, actually. I'm feeling pretty bad about that.
You should feel like bad.
I didn't mock anything.
It's all me. I feel like I'm Cartman on South Park or something.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
I'm not fat, I'm just big band.
Okay, should we go to the next subject?
Bitcoin.
I just thought we didn't actually talk about E3.
Well, we can leave that. We can leave that till the end.
Do the Bitcoin stuff. I like the Bitcoin stuff.
Bitcoin is yeah.
So, what? I really want to talk about Bitcoins. Really?
Yeah.
I have no fucking clue what it is. So if somebody is
I'm gonna start with the problem. The problem talking about Bitcoin is, halfway through, you have to start talking about banking, because unfortunately, it sort of assumes you understand the basis of banking. Mm. But just before, the reason it's come back again, but into the news sort of, but a little bit more mainstream, is because a couple of senators started saying they found this site that sell drugs and they can't trace them because the people are buying drugs with Bitcoin. So of course, the Guardian and so forth.
The whole thing's genius, though. The whole thing's actually genius.
Okay, so can somebody fucking explain what it is again?
Yeah. Okay, so
somebody did a low level.
It's digital money. So if you think of it like this, the idea is I want to give you money, but I don't want to use a central system. So I appear on a node on this network, and I pass you this digital money called Bitcoin. The transactions are there. They can't exactly be traced, but they are there. And then you come to the issue of, well, yeah, but how do you get this money? And that's the thing that I'll explain, but it may leave people confused. So you have this thing called a Bitcoin miner, not a small person, but somebody who digs things. So the idea is, if you think about the Romans who traded with salt, the idea that salt was good because you only got a certain amount of salt out of the ground, you know, a constant amount, and you only used a certain amount, so it sort of was stable. So what this is they've discovered a set of difficult to solve algorithms. I think it's basically a hash with 20 zeros or something. It's actually a copy of a previous idea to kill spam, which I'll describe later. So in other words, your machine, your CPU, or better even your GPU, has to do a certain amount of work to try to solve the current problem. And there's basically a recurring set of problems. And if you randomly solve this before all the other computers that are involved with Bitcoin do it, you have uncovered this block. So it's sort of like a lottery prize, and you get 50 Bitcoins. And then they do another one, and then another machine can do it. So it sort of clearly is easier to do if you have more processing power. But after a while, if you use too much processing power, then the cost of your electricity exceeds the cost of Bitcoin. The only issue is the value of these Bitcoins has started to rise a little bit. So you can now see how many Bitcoins you can get to the dollar, how many Bitcoins you can
get. In all fairness, we had four Mac Pros sat in the corner of the office, which just turned up out of nowhere. We ran them for a week on Bitcoin. We didn't actually get a single coin.
Oh.
It should be related to how much processing you knock at it, but it is still random.
Yeah.
So think of it like, did you get Olympic tickets? It's like that.
I got Olympic tickets. I have no idea what I got.
Therefore, you might be good with Bitcoins. So.
It's also not a very efficient way of doing things. I mean, if you're a kind of normal person, you shouldn't be looking to do Bitcoin mining because it's just not going to be economical.
Okay, can somebody please explain then why?
Right.
Because, the entire world is going to end and we need a separate currency.
It's an attempt at digital currency. The problem with any currency is you can't start a new currency unless everyone has some.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't make any sense unless everyone's trading in it. And obviously it doesn't make sense if you can produce it magically. Although that bit doesn't matter quite as much. But, for a currency to work, whether it's a euro, whether it's a dollar, or whether it's gold, whether it's oil, or whether it's condoms, or whatever, people will only trade it if it's got some sort of residual value.
Yeah.
I said, you can't grow it, I think Douglas Adams had a society that traded leaves, so clearly that's not going to work. The production of them needs to be constant, and the consumption, if they get consumed, needs to be constant. And that's really all it is. So the biggest problem with something like Bitcoin is how to make them, distribute them over as many people as possible, and then leave it alone. And what they're going to do is they're going to stop producing them when there's exactly 21 million. I don't know why they put on 21 million. And you can use them in fractions as well, so it's another way around. But the point is...
Decimal places, yeah.
You can use decimal places, yeah. So there's a guy, there's something called Bit... can't remember the name, BitFoundry or something, that he's just giving them away. Thank you. And he's just giving 0.0005 away if people don't take too many or something. So Cristiano, the idea is why it's to get an alternative unreal digital currency. Why the Bitcoin miner? To make sure that it's just distributed. And also to get a currency that doesn't have a central exchange. So although there is central mechanisms, that's the way the blocks work, like a lottery, there's no actual, you know, the transactions are peer-to-peer, so they're not really, you know, you can't really trace them in that sense.
So, but the way of bootstrapping this, aren't we just generating, like, a new generation of, like, oil magnets?
Yep. No. I mean, it's the same thing, you can't...
Or salt magnets.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's the same thing. You can try. You can't really corner the market in it because of the way the blocks are random. So you can't.
There's a list of the most wealthy Bitcoiners in existence, and they have something in the region of, you know, thousands of Bitcoins, which in kind of the current exchange rates is quite a lot of money. But hoarding is never going to be an effective way of kind of increasing your wealth because of the way the whole system is designed to work, where you can have pretty much infinite deflation. So it's not really kind of a big deal like that.
Plus, the obvious thing that Bitcoins, as of themselves, are not worth anything at all. You know, at least gold, you could like, make bracelets or something.
Yeah, this is my problem with it. What's actually backing it? The fact that it's worth money
nothing.
Because...
Nothing. No. You see, this is the other problem.
The
no
services that people offer.
Yes, exactly. It's your willingness to use it. It's like the web. It's an agreement. It has no...
It's... Okay.
I mean,
so,
if you ask really, what currency really does.
It, interestingly enough, has the same... So, it's the same question when you ask about a bill, right? Just, you know, a £5 note. What is backing it? Now, the thing is, traditionally what's been backing it is the gold in a bank's reserve. Interestingly enough, in recent years, especially in the US, bills out there have not been matching the amount of gold that they have.
You realize they haven't counted the amount of gold in any of the central banks for about 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Nixon who said, forget the gold bit, no one really cares. I mean,
the point is, it's been underwritten by the state. The country is guaranteeing this money exists and that it has to be honoured.
But of course, that's the last bit. It has to be honoured. It doesn't have to exist. It has to be honoured. So when you go to a bank and the bank gives you a £3,000 loan, they just wish it from thin air. That's the way money works. You know, and that's fine as long as...
Well, they don't wish it from thin air per se. It exists in a controlled manner. There is only so much in the economy at one point.
Yeah, but they do. They don't like find some coins for you and give them to you unless you ask for them. They create £3,000 on your account because they say so. Yep.
Right, but they have the £3,000 that's been given to them from the central bank.
This is the classic, if everybody goes to the bank at the same time and gets their money out, then the central bank has to go, oh, how much fucking money do we actually have?
Because the central bank is controlled, it has all the money.
No, it has a lot of money. There would still be a run on the bank if everybody tried to get their money
out. It would
out,
always run on the bank.
It's fractional. Yeah, we know it's fractional. Therefore, no one has all that money. You know, otherwise the economy wouldn't work. So what Bitcoin's doing is looking at how currencies work. Trying to get even, and they're successful in that as far as I can see, and this is why I think it's only going to grow. It might become impractical if, as somebody's already said, that, you know, for people to have money they have to sort of piss around with different strange processes and GPUs and stuff, but it's definitely going to stay. What the hell was that?
Sneezing, the one.
All right. There's nothing to do with cats. This time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Bitcoins. Because the thing about it, right, is I was kind of like Christiana. I was kind of like, didn't really know much about it. So I looked into it because I read lots of bits and pieces about it. And then I wanted to know the actual technology behind it. And so I started reading about that. And actually, it's pretty damn nifty, you know.
That is, yeah.
No doubt about that. But
so what have you been ordering off Silk Road, Ian?
What's that?
That's the original site.
Oh, man.
Complaining about.
But it's kind of genius. The whole thing was genius, right? Because basically, for those of you who are not familiar with it, there's a site called the Silk Road. You can only access this site.
Is anybody here familiar with it?
Yeah. What do you mean by familiar with it? Like,
okay.
Right.
So the reason that this came to the attention of the senators was that they found out that there's a site called the Silk Road. It's called the Silk Road because of there used to be a Silk Road where you could get anything on. You know, we're going back thousands of years. Anyway, basically, if you go to this website, you can only access it via Tor.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes.
So you can only access it via Tor, so there's no... So you can't trace who connected to the website. You can't trace what money was used because they only accept Bitcoin. And it's all done off trust. It's a, I'd like 100 grams of crack cocaine. Here's some bitcoins. Done. Yeah.
Shall I tell you how to find why it's not an issue? The reason it's not an issue is because do you think the drug dealers at the other end are only doing Bitcoin transactions?
Or
do
God,
you think
no.
they're part of a... Exactly. They're part of a... And do you think they're possibly kind of getting their supplies from other drug dealers who might possibly be under surveillance?
Yeah,
of course they have to keep. They have to have all their clients' addresses to be able to send them the drugs.
Right.
And so as soon as you bust one of these drug dealers, you get a list of everybody's addresses. It's great. It's just kind of a calling card.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So don't go buying your drugs from there.
No. Obviously.
Damn it.
You know, just use online pharmacies in general, much better.
Like the ones that appear on my email, right?
Yeah, they're awesome. Use them.
Oh, dear.
If they're too expensive, you probably have this email from this Nigerian guy wanting to, you know.
Just want 5
billion bitcoins, Ian. 5.
Yeah. Oh, well. Wow. So what's the...
Bitcoin's interesting because I first came across it in about April. And at the time, I bought 7 bitcoins. That's about £1 a bitcoin using a currency exchange. And since then, it's completely viralized. And the exchange rate's kind of massively tripled. So something like... It's now kind of like $15 to the Bitcoin, or about £15 to the Bitcoin. I've spent several on some stuff, and I think it's real potential.
What stuff? Really, is it?
Yeah.
What stuff?
A lot about Silk Road, and now it's saying he bought stuff with Bitcoins.
Yeah. There's also some good sites for sex toys, but I bought services from a guy who. who drew me some nice some stick figures.
I need some stick figures. I'm gonna use Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, it was quite a good artist, like kind of XKCD style. And he did me a kind of like little ident, which now in retrospect, given the prices rise, makes it feel like I've spent kind of £30 on some stick figures.
Well, so this is the thing, right?
Tim, this is the thing. This is the brilliant thing. Those stick figures are now worth 30 quid.
Which thing?
The fact that the bitcoins have gone up in price, have risen in value, so has your picture.
What value did Bitcoin?
Would you like to buy it?
Well, I should point out there's probably more services accepting bitcoins than there are, for instance, services using OpenID, you know, to talk about another massively failing technology. So I think like Bitcoin is doing pretty well, actually. Yeah, but
let's stay on topic here.
Sorry about that. Just thought I'd, you know.
So way. Hold on. This is the thing, right? This is the crux of the matter. Now, as Eastman's already pointed out, yeah. It works like most currencies, and there's this whole thing about people buying in at the very start, and basically the price going up, and then you know, selling it once price is at a certain point, and like everyone's selling it.
Yeah, it's and speculation.
What's that?
That's just currency speculation.
Yes,
currency.
But there's something sinister about that, and there seems to be
why?
A lot of people say, "Well, I don't know." This is I'm still trying to understand. Is that there's a lot of people saying, you know, that that this is basically like a triangle, a pyramid selling scheme.
No, it's just a pure market system. No one is forcing the price. Therefore, it just floats to the price people are willing to pay. Simple as that. It will stop. I mean, obviously, now it's been in the papers, it's going to go up. It's going to go up for a couple of weeks. Then people go,
well, actually, I mean, stop. Actually, I mean, the other day there was actually a inverted commas crash on the Bitcoin, one of the major Bitcoin exchanges. Major exchange. And price point by Ethereum.
You're dropping off 30 again.
Am
I still here?
Try again. Yeah.
Now you are.
Hello.
Hello.
well, there was a drop off on the a crash on the market, and it dropped from about $30 to the Bitcoin, which was, you know, kind of a bit outlandish by my opinion, to $20 to the Bitcoin, which, you know, it might sound not so bad if you bought in when I did, but at the same time that's a third that's just been wiped off the market. But this is just because it's, you know, speculation on the currency's value.
So that's fairly good. Kind of expected. That's a good thing.
So are we basically saying don't invest in Bitcoins, you'll lose money?
No, I think it's
well, I think you're looking at it the wrong way. It's not an investment vessel. You shouldn't be kind of looking at Bitcoin as
well. Our lawyers would like to remind us that anything said on TechCrunch is not financial advice.
Exactly.
Yeah, so really what you should be doing is, you know, investing £40,000 in Bitcoin. I'll sell you them, tell you what.
I like that thing about vessel. That was very good. You can sell me insurance anytime, Tim.
So the real value in Bitcoin is being able to kind of replace PayPal and send transactions over the internet without having these kind of massive sender charges.
It's what PayPal are going to do in response that's more interesting, because that is obviously the I mean, also it's another point, the Japanese guy who's made this, all this code is open source, out of interest, so it's not a black box. It's you know, yes, how the central system works could be altered, like sort of Google changing their page ranking, but other than that, the actual main workings of it is, you know, you can examine it. So I think it's going to be quite a major threat to people like PayPal or some of PayPal's
business. Unlikely to be a major threat to PayPal, considering how long it's taken them to get that many users.
I think it's going to be quite a major threat.
Well, but surely, this is the thing, if PayPal were smart, what they would do is they would just take the open source technology and bundle their brand on top of it.
Right.
Who's going to do that?
Well, PayPal can't buy it, but
PayPal, no. But they would just adopt the technology.
That's
and then throw likely. Their stuff on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's quite likely. They might do an alternative.
Saying that Microsoft should adopt Linux and based all their technology on Linux from now on. It's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, but smart companies would.
They can set up their own exchange. I mean, anyone can do that.
It's a sad thing that you're not the CEO of CEO. Somebody at PayPal, isn't he?
I was going to say, hang on, I know the CEO of PayPal.
So it's the BBC going to adopt Bitcoin.
PayPal's a fairly smart company. But apart from the whole suing Google thing, but we won't go back to 2 weeks ago.
Well, the real thing that PayPal's pissed me off recently is that they've stopped allowing Bitcoin people to buy, allowing people to buy Bitcoin with PayPal.
Please, in terms of service.
Yeah, claiming that it goes, well, but he also wrote a blog post about it, explaining that this was a useful and innovative use of PayPal.
Left-hand don't like right it. Hand. Well done, PayPal. Well done.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's obviously needling them already, then. Yeah, that's good.
So should we should we move on to something else?
Well,
let's go.
E3, but like, hey, I haven't been. Has anybody been to E3?
I've been. This year, but I have been before.
Well, that's better than nothing.
Well, a friend of mine had the opportunity and he turned it down for some reason. He was
good call.
That was an interesting story.
Time consuming and very noisy on the floor. So.
Yeah. Okay. So the interesting part is Nintendo's Wii, whatever it's called.
Wii U,
that's it.
Wii on the floor? I don't know what that is.
Wii U. So basically, they took an iPad, they took a DS, they put some guys in a room.
They forgot to feed them and they died.
And then the monkeys that were left in came with this device that looks like it was built by Fisher-Price.
Oh, man.
Have you guys seen it? Yeah.
I've seen pictures of it. Yeah.
So, concept is kind of good, genius, apart from, again, Nintendo, stop panicking. Can you please, you know, sit down and come up with something that doesn't completely make me want to cry?
But you like Fisher-Price.
No! If I had kids, maybe.
And they would. No, they probably wouldn't like Fisher-Price at all, actually. So.
Right. So, basically, it's... You have a unit that sits into your TV, and it's plugged into your TV, and you're playing on your TV, and you've got the controller's got this 7-inch screen built into it. So I'm playing in high def, and then I don't know.
It's high def. Is it full HD?
Yeah, apparently the output onto the TV is full HD.
Ooh. Okay.
Right. So Christiana comes in and says, "I want to watch whatever." Okay. So then I walk off, take the controller with me, and then it will play on the controller instead, which is cool.
No, it's not. They're innovating your own TV. Just get a second TV. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody said their innovation
basically is we're doing what we did 5 years ago when you could plug your Game Boy into the console to have like an additional display.
But nobody cared about that.
Right. But now we're going to let you also play the game on it if your parents want to watch Coronation Street.
But I mean, that's nonsense because everyone knows all kids have their own TVs. I mean, they don't know.
Well, that's also the thing, right? It's just like not all kids do have their own TVs, but still, most of them do.
Pretty much, most of them do. If they can afford something like, you know, a new console, they probably have all the consoles, their own TV, you know.
Yeah.
Their own spaceship, you know.
Yeah.
Their own donut.
They can just leave the planet anytime they like, you know.
Yeah. So that's exactly the point, right?
But hold on, I think you guys are being too harsh on it. You know, the concept is very, very smart. And right now, everyone's thinking, well, you can play games on, you know, a 7-inch screen. Is it 7 inches? Or how big is it? Well, whatever size.
Like 7 inches.
Okay, but I think the interesting part is, we're doing, lots and lots of work on dual screen and beyond. And I think there's lots of interesting stuff that can be done with multiple screens.
Right. So that was Nintendo's big thing, anyway.
I think it's absolutely it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
What?
Yes.
I'm not kidding, right?
No, game experience tends to very, very rarely be about the hardware when it comes to consoles. The thing that makes the Xbox worth it for me in comparison to the PlayStation 3 is the social kind of integration that the PlayStation is completely just really, really lacking.
Seriously,
the thing that makes the Wii, as it was, successful is, again, the social kind of way in which you can walk up and you have this thing and it's kind of a stick and it kind of works and you don't really need to explain it to anybody and you just start playing. This Wii U tablet, it's only made for... You can only use one of those kind of tablets on a Wii?
I think so. I don't know.
It's been confirmed. You can only use one on a Wii. So it's kind of like one person has this thing and somebody else...
What?
The thing that really lacks at the moment from the original Wii was kind of the HD support to kind of upgrade the graphics and kind of some better support for making it fun to play with other people online. And they didn't do that. Here's a fun prototype of something we probably kind of should have showed you at like a Nintendo Lab session and see what people thought about it and maybe develop it a bit more further. And in the meantime, we're just going to make the Wii better. We're just going to release a better version of the Wii, give you the thing that you love, and just make it better. No, instead they came out with this thing which kind of feels half-baked, and everybody's like, sorry, what? It's not something we were kind of wanting from you guys, and you're giving us this other state. And in the meantime, Sony and Microsoft are just jumping ahead and just going, guys, we're here, we've got fun stuff.
Yeah. No security, but fun stuff.
No security,
So, Nintendo, what else? Did Nintendo announce anything else? They announced the new Zelda game shipping in fall, and that's it. Basically.
Probably the Zelda game, though, is more significant than everything else.
Pretty much. Microsoft had some cool announcements.
What did they announce? Because I'm not hurrying.
So Microsoft went, look, we've got Kinect.
They're going to do that every year, I reckon.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we've seen the Kinect, so...
So they were basically... They've signed loads more people to actually start building games for it.
SDK?
They didn't say anything about that. There was a load of stuff that got announced on stage, and there was a load of stuff that then just got quietly put out in press releases after. So on stage, they announced Halo 4.
Oh, God.
Halo 4, Halo Classic Edition.
Does anyone play Halo here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stand it, but simply because of the capacitor.
And I realized I was muted. Yes.
I want a mouse and keyboard. I don't want a controller.
Yeah, I mean, I play Halo, but, you know, obviously I prefer mouse and keyboard.
Anyway, go on.
That was the thing. They announced a load of the, you know, expected stuff. Mass Effect is going to use Kinect.
Oh, great.
Which will be
interesting. You can actually use your own voice.
Oh, you can talk to the aliens?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. You can talk to E.T.
No, the Mass Effect integration is actually one of the more sensible ones.
It looks sensible.
So, the way a lot of this kind of Kinect stuff was initially implemented was like, you had to kind of like stand up and wave. Now, and that's not how I play games, right? I just lounge on the couch and sit there. And it's like...
You don't stand up when you're playing games?
No,
what is wrong with you? You're doing it wrong.
TV doing dance moves. Now, I'm kind of lying like a half-dead Roman, you know, but instead of being fed grapes, I'm lying on the couch with an Xbox controller in my hand.
You can see what I'm doing right now.
But the cool thing of the Mass Effect integration is what you used to do in Mass Effect 2 is you used to kind of command your squad and say, you had to kind of like not really pause, but like halt the game and then go, this teammate, go there and attack that enemy with this power. And this teammate, go there and attack that enemy with that power. Because you've got like some kind of magic stuff going on too. But now you can just shout out and go, just shout the character's name and say, go left. And they'll go there. So that was kind of an interesting integration. It seems like the Kinect this year was very much used for the voice control rather than the...
Yep.
Lightsaber
on was my particular favorite.
Sorry.
It's like, what the hell? It's a lightsaber. Why am I needing to tell it to turn on? You're right. So that was Nintendo. Sony, I haven't seen anything from.
I know about Sony.
Sony had they came in and they said I think they said this about 10 times.
We're very, very sorry.
Yes.
Really sorry. It won't happen again. We don't know how it happened. We're going to change.
We know how it happens, but...
we're going to let the FBI deal with that, and we'll come back to it.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So also, did you see Sony... I'm not even sure how they did this now, but... Oh, I think it's... is it a special TV technology they're using where...
Yes, that was the one thing I did see, which was really cool.
Yeah, that was very cool. So, did anyone else see it?
I think Cristiano was talking about it last night.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
So basically, you know how the active shutter technology that they were using for 3D.
Oh, that's it. Sorry, the TV.
So
you explain, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. So they've got the TV, and they each person. So you've got two people watching the TV. with glasses on, but the two pairs of glasses are both on a different refresh rate.
Oh, right, okay.
So the person on the left sees BBC One, and the person on the right is watching ITV.
Ah, that's quite nice.
Because the rate's slightly off, so the shutters, you only see the correct frames.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But the cool thing, what I like about it, is you can play multiplayer co-op on one screen together.
Yeah.
Which I recently was playing a game with Melinda, and it was like, you get like this half screen, and you can choose whether or not it's horizontal or vertical, but it's just a pain. It's like, where's my viewing angle? And it's like, no, you just put on the glasses, and both of you just see your own screen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
The only thing about it is that you have to wear glasses.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's going to, given the amount of 3D TVs are going to get into people's homes eventually, that's going to be...
I really think that I'm really hoping it's a fad and it'll just go away.
Yeah,
good luck to that.
I see what you mean, but it's not going to go away.
No.
No.
I hope that a long time ago it's still here.
Yeah.
It's usual problem. You've got to, you know... Companies need their share value to maintain. They have to sell new innovations.
Oh, so that was the one thing we did miss, which was on Nintendo's, the day after the next day on the Japanese stock exchange, their share price dropped 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. Apart from
I have no idea. Yeah.
apart from the obvious.
Yeah, apart from the obvious.
What is this?
And
it's so because I think it's because PSN came back online.
Yeah. So, the other thing Microsoft announced was cloud saves. So that you're now just everything's going to sync onto their wireless storage thing, so you don't have to worry about having a USB stick with all your saves on.
Uh huh.
Which is nice.
That's frickin' time.
And there was a new Old Republic trailer, which is awesome. And yeah.
In a way, I like the fact that the most exciting things are the games, which is the way it should be. And everything else fairly peripheral to that.
This was kind of the first time I actually tracked E3, and I was just amazed in kind of the different presentation techniques between the companies.
Yep.
Basically, Xbox was basically just presentation. They had this massive screen with a massive stage, which was built out of like separate screens, and it was a huge, and people were just, it was just a 1 minute, well, maybe 2 minute presentation from this game company, show, then a little bit of a video, off stage, next one on. They just went through people over and over. It just went on a really nice just rhythm, and there was just stuff where Sony, and I didn't see the Nintendo one, but the Sony one was just the director standing on stage going, yes, and we have a new announcement. And it was like, they had like three little screens, and the entire vibe that came off of it was completely different.
I've sat in pretty much all of these press conferences at one point or another. The Nintendo one was nowhere near as bad as their 3DS Europe one, which was... have you guys heard how bad that was?
Yes, I have heard, yeah.
Yeah, I felt very sorry for Jonathan Ross. it felt very bad for him that day. Nintendo always been very dry. They normally do they do Apple style analytics. They've stopped doing that actually now. The guy left the company and they've never showed numbers on stage since. It's a bit weird. Sorry, I lost my place. And their presentation styles differ dramatically. Sony, I think, were very much just being apologetic this year.
Yeah.
It was just funny to see how... It seemed to me like Microsoft was the only one who kind of really understood their audience. We're just going to show you all the games, and we know you're gamers, and you like flashy objects, and we'll just, bombard you with just graphics.
I think Microsoft... I've been to other Microsoft presentations though, when they've done more similar traditional... like how Nintendo did theirs. It just depends. I think this year was very much, look, the platform's mature, we've got fuckloads of games and technologies which we've built on top of it to show you, so we don't need to talk to you.
They've got more than that. I mean, there's just, if you look at Steam, one of the main selling games is Terraria, which is made from XNA. That's amazing. I mean, because first saw XNA, I thought, yeah, that looks a bit weak. Now it's actually, you know, can make, you know, industry standard games. That's pretty impressive.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, that's pretty much E3. The Old Republic trailer makes again the first part of a trilogy, which we won't talk about. It's better than those three films combined. So, yeah.
Duke Nukem Forever. Duke Nukem?
Yeah, has anyone played Duke Nukem?
No, I saw it. I thought it was on shelves in the shop, so I'm assuming it actually shipped.
Amazing.
I'm putting a lot of trust in the retailer not selling me an empty box. If I
it would have been brilliant. It would have been brilliant if they got afterwards going, yeah, we said we were going to ship, but you know. We're just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, if they said, like, it's next month, well, you know, what's 1 month in 9 years? I mean, who the hell cares? They can do make it as late as they like.
Well, the interesting part also is that it shipped here before it shipped to America.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why that might be.
Is it just the date, how the date the dates worked out?
Because not any major holidays or anything, so...
Is it not even out in the US yet?
No, I don't think so. I think
it
launches tomorrow or something.
Yeah, exactly. It might be that.
It'll be Tuesday. Actually, it's normally Tuesday.
It's more to do with the fact that, yeah, it's Steam is going to be the major. I mean, they don't have. There's not such a. It might be in certain cities, depending on which stores particularly want it. But here, because of game, is totally national. And there's not such strength in the national.
There's GameStop in the US, but...
It's GameStop, but that's sort of collapsing, if anything, it's not doing that well, so...
Yeah, to be honest, I would quite like Game to disappear at some point.
It's pretty crap, isn't it, but...
I'm not even going to talk about what happened.
What happened?
Do you know a couple of years ago, do you know GameStation is owned by Game now, right?
Yeah.
So, when the merger came through, the entire games industry, retail industry went, no, please do not let them do this. It will fuck competition. Because GameStation were actually giving them a run for their money on most of their things. And the Competition Commission went, no, it's fine. They promised us it'll be fine.
Heard that before.
The merger went through. Competition Commission reviewed it and went, yeah, we fucked up. Sorry. A bit late.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. They haven't done themselves any good.
That sounds like a lot of things I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'll have to get some sort of platform so I can play Duke Nukem 3D.
Is it on the Xbox?
I don't actually know what it's even on. Is it?
I think it was on everything.
So PC, I suppose, and probably Xbox.
Yeah, okay.
I'll have to play something before Deus Ex 3 comes out, so that'll be that.
I'm still working on Deus Ex 1, 2.
Oh, okay. That probably will end up being a better game than Deus Ex. Well, Deus Ex 3 probably look nicer, but Deus Ex 1 was a classic. So.
Next subject.
What is the next subject?
I don't know.
This week.
What's that?
Anything else happen this week?
No, that was it.
Did anything happen this week? I like it.
No, I think did anything else happen this week?
I think we had our first mail in regarding Tech Grumps, or at least I had a mail in.
You had a mail in?
Yes.
Really? I didn't get one.
I had a reply regarding from somebody regarding our rant a couple of weeks ago about Barcamp.
Oh yeah, you forwarded me that out of context. I'm like, what the fuck happened?
I didn't got that. Ew, did you send it to me?
It was sent to Tom and me. It was
who
sent it to Tom and me.
That's true. Where do you send stuff if you want to send stuff to Tech Grumps? Like it's a person or something.
To comments. You write a comment on the blog.
Perhaps it's a private admission.
Yeah. So what did it say then? What did this letter say?
It basically was pretty much...
Are we being sued? That's all I want to know.
No. He pretty much just
said... No, you're now subject to a super injunction.
Oh man,
Ryan Giggs
is a great footballer. Move on.
So okay, anything else, or are we gonna end on time?
Missing stuff.
It's just a train or something. It's a Southwest train. End on time.
Oh, Southwest trains! How did any of you get stuck?
Yeah. Not badly, though.
Okay.
What happened to Southwest Trains?
Nothing unusual, actually, in my opinion. The usual shit.
Yeah, that's the more worrying thing. Is there was nothing unusual about it apart from, you know, it was shit.
Okay. Can we plug events on TechCrunch?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
Because at the end of July, I'm going to be running the world's first Bitcoin conference in Manchester.
Wait, is that serious?
Yes. Can you continue laughing?
No. Let's stop laughing and take it and go, okay, cool.
Cool.
Supportive, cool. I believe. Is this like believing Tom Scott? Is this really stupid?
I believe in Tom Scott. It sounds like I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch Tom Scott.
Oh, jeez. Stop.
Yeah, let's stop this now, actually.
Yeah. So, okay, you're running the you're running the Bitcoin conference. What's Cristiano doing? What do you want to vlog?
So, Barcamp London is coming up end of October. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not exactly near, though. I mean,
no, but
it's ages away.
This Tuesday, we have a meeting for anybody who wants to help and organize.
I thought you were going to say you were going to open sign-ups then, which might have been a little premature.
Yeah, because funnily enough, you know, we give our tickets 6 months before. Now, a while, yeah.
Actually, it's going to be interesting because of the recession. I wonder how easy it is going to be to get money. What do you reckon?
Well, we've had that recession ages ago. We're in the up, not in the down.
Well, yeah.
We do not
accept bitcoins as bribes. I'm currently building something for the office tomorrow, and apparently one of the O2 shuttle buses is currently 5,000 kilometers away from the office.
What?
Yeah, I think that's...
It's probably doing a tour of, like, Uganda or something.
Best of the six apparently is very lost.
Are you in the right country for your job, Kevin?
I don't know. All the other buses, I think, are in the parking lot because they're all within like the same that long air bit. All the shuttle buses have phones on them that tell us where they are.
Except the one.
Are the actual phones, or are they actually just?
They're just Android handsets.
Really?
Ripe
for hacking.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, Tim, I enjoyed that Bitcoin mining accident link. Get rich or die mining. Bloody accident.
So I'm going to vlog something as well then. I'm going to vlog. I'm working on a DJ camp, DJ hack camp. Cool. So look out for that.
So is the word hack just being added randomly there? I mean, I noticed hack just gets...
No, it is actually... Because the thing about it is, whenever I say DJ, they always go, oh, yeah, I've seen one of those before. I'm like, really? And they're like, oh, yeah, data journalism. I'm like, no. No, actual DJing.
Huh.
So.
No, I know where boat six is. I know where bus six is.
Oh, where is it?
I know where bus six is.
off the coast of Africa.
I'm not sure I can see bus four. Is that underneath the take of bus two?
Scroll all the way out. You'll be able to see it.
Oh, okay. No, they just get really big then. No, they've all disappeared. Now I can only see bus three. Ugh. They've all gone except bus three.
Right.
Anyway. Right, Kevin.
Bus six is reporting default location on the Apple thing, which is actually the middle of the ocean.
I can only see bus three, and now it's disappeared.
Okay.
Either you've taken all the buses, or your development skills are the big question.
Should we call it quits for... Should we go a bit crazy about buses?
Just sell one thing. Girl Geeks are doing this thing in, I think it's, unfortunately, it's like Dundee or something, but I should just push that. They're doing some soon to be announced education hack camp there. I thought put the word hack in over, so, and they need
yeah, you need to pay a licensing fee to hack camp to Cristiano.
Okay. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
They'll have to call it not actually hack or or something.
Yeah, you have to pay Yahoo when you call it a hack day.
Yeah, but wait a minute, hold on. Really? I didn't think so.
Of course not, but it's kind of nice if you ask.
Okay.
No, Hack Camp is the one that we did, so it's just like, just ask, we'll say yes.
I think this weaves back into what somebody was saying at the beginning about other people having ideas and developing on them, or something people were saying at the beginning of the show. I don't know. Just ignore me. The
buses have definitely come back.
Yeah.
This is more interesting. Oh, actually, square.
On thing of travel, I won a PayPal dispute this week.
Really?
With Deutsche Telekom.
Oh.
Which was nice. So I was on an ICE from Munich, and I went, oh, they got Wi-Fi. Paid for the Wi-Fi. It worked for about 20 minutes until I got outside of Munich and went the other track. So the train officially had Wi-Fi from Munich. It was only for 20 minutes, though, because if you go via Stuttgart, you have Wi-Fi. If you go via the other place, you don't. So, okay, got to my hotel, went on to PayPal, went thing. There's no option on PayPal to say that this is why I'm putting a complaint back in.
Yeah.
So I just make one up, and they refunded it. So
that's good, see. That's really good.
Yeah. Versus Cristiano, who couldn't actually even get to the payment screen.
Oh, yeah. sorry, Cristiano.
No, Cristiano. That is a good tech run. So I was on the trains from London to Manchester and the train from Leeds to London. And on both of them, I managed to connect to the Wi-Fi. I managed to get the
screen hold on. There was Wi-Fi on the train from Manchester to Leeds?
No.
It's the new coast.
I said the Leeds to London.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
London to Manchester.
Yeah, because there's no Wi-Fi on that one, I'll tell you that.
two different train companies, both running Wi-Fi, great. Except for... I'm assuming they want to make money off of this, but I can reach the page. I load it and it automatically loads the page saying, "Oh, you need to pay." I click the button and it just never loads the payment page on either of them. The connection is so horrible that it can't even load the payment page, which is on one side a good thing because it means I don't like pay like 10 quid to then have a horrible connection. And, you know, not be able to load anything else but the payment page. But I thought it was just ironic that for a company that's, you know, apparently trying to provide this, the thing you can't load is the payment page.
In all fairness, Cristiano, this is the new and improved East Coast, which is neither new or improved.
Oh, well. I mean,
stop the show, we're rambling. Stop it now.
Indeed.
Okay. Well... I better take us out then, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the rants, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Froster.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Cristiano. if you would like to be on Tech Grumps 35, or you disagree with anything we said, then...
Then try and solve an algorithm, and if you can do that, then maybe we'll let you on.
The best place to go is... is techgrumps.wordpress.com and leave us a comment. okay, not that funny.
Is going to send you an email?
Well, I'm not going to give my email address out.
I'm not going to communicate with you anyway. We normally just ask random people.
All right, we'll send it to techgrumps.cubicgarden.com. It's also worth... hanging around on Twitter and following the hashtag. Following the hashtag hash TechGrumps to see when the opportunity comes up for you to maybe be involved in the show. So, with that, can we start with Eastman? So, say bye bye, Eastman.
Bye bye, Eastman.
Bye.
Say bye, Cristiano.
Bye.
Say bye.
Fuck off.
Bye, Kevin. Yep.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Tim.
Ciao.
Bye.
Oh man. What? People who are not Italian and who use ciao, just.
Hey, ciao, bello. Hey.
Oh. Oh, Jesus Christ. Go and join the hipster legion or something.
Oh, man. Anyway, so thank you very much, people, for listening. And we should be back next week. Although I may not want to.
Yeah, Cristiano, you talk about hipster union, you live in bloody Shoreditch.
I don't live in Shoreditch.
I'm calling hipsterism.
I live in like a really suburban bit of London.
You live in Rotherhide, that's the new.
Yeah, Shoreditch. Thank you for telling everybody.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I can blank it out if you want to.
Nah.
Not. Right. I'll say bye to everyone. So bye everyone. Say bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.